Now, we're teaching on a subject. We're teaching from the scriptures why Christians need to meditate on God's word. I'm still in that subject, but the Lord hasn't left it, so it's good that I don't. And so we're going to look at today in an area. It's one of those parts is really dealing in the areas of meditation. That's how I ended up getting what I'm going to teach on today. As I got this, I'd been meditating on it. I've had numbers of things that I had notes on concerning this subject. And but there was an area that I was going to minister today, and one of the scriptures comes from this series of scriptures, and I just kept coming to me concerning this scripture, and I just kept going over to that. I've learned if something just keeps coming up to me, I don't go do something else. I get stuck in that spot, and I just learn if God's trying to get something to me and I'm not picking it up, the best thing you don't do is go over to find about something else. I just stay with that till I get that, whatever it is. And so I had a real spiritual time yesterday, but I had been meditating on it. I was meditating on it. I'm going in the grocery store to pick some stuff up. But I have been meditating for the past couple of weeks concerning this scripture, because this scripture kept coming to me. And I just meditate on it. And I'm walking in through, and all of a sudden, just like that, I knew what I was supposed to do. Just like that, bang, all of a sudden, the light came on. But if, I'm going to tell you, it would have never happened if I wouldn't have spent time. But see, I was meditating on that scripture. And see, then there are certain things concerning that. All of a sudden, the light came on because there were certain things that God wanted to show me that were relevant to that scripture. And if I hadn't spent time meditating on that, it wouldn't have came. So this is why it's so important. And that's not just for coming up with sermons. This is just things in life God's dealing with us. And we're going to look today on a thing in here. We're going to talk about the area of prayer. We're going over to Philippians, the fourth chapter. We're going to look at some scriptures. You probably all could, you know them. You could probably stand up here and teach things on this. But this, this isn't my sermon. In fact, I've never taught it the way I'm going to teach the, because I'm is teaching it in a series today of how it works. We're going to look at the areas about really, the Bible deals with the fact that we can be guaranteed answers to prayer. Now, we need to understand this. When I'm talking about this, I'm not talking about you praying for everybody else. You can't guarantee that you can get everything for everybody else. There's no place in Scripture gives you that idea. Sadly to say, the church sort of operates in it. That's one of the things that has happened to the church has been a real problem is why with the presidential elections, faith people thought that they could just run around and make confessions that somebody's going to be a president and he's going to be the president. They thought, get a life. I mean, it's so childish. But yet major ministries were doing this stuff. And then the thing turned out, the election didn't go the way they went, and they were surprised. We had all these, 400 false prophets running around, saying all this stuff, and none of it counted. It's like, why? Because, see, people get in their minds, and they believe. I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. You got to be careful about it. You can get yourself over in thinking thoughts of things, and you can get them into your spirit, and your spirit will speak them back to you, and you'll swear it was God talking to you, and it wasn't God at all. It's the stuff you put in. You put wrong things there, and you put stuff in just because you want it. I always admired it. Brother Hagin, when I went to prayer school, when I was out at Rhema, when I'd get a chance, I'd go to prayer school, and I learned to listen to Brother Hagin and praying, because everybody would get praying the whole place, but I'd pay attention. There's one thing is I've learned from listening to what other people do. It's one thing is Brother Hagin would do this, that we would be praying about certain things, and one of the things that they used to do when I was there at that time, they were praying concerning this, that time was the Soviet Union, and they would pray, and they had done that for years in there, and one things that we'd pray for. But Brother Hagin would go over, and he would take certain things of the Word, and he would pray and talk to the Lord. And he'd say things, but then he would always do this. He would say, now, Lord, if there's something else you want to do, I'll do whatever you want. See, he always kept himself turned toward God, not just his prayer. See, we get sometimes so focused, we miss it. We're so focused, we ain't paying attention. God has a plan to bring to pass what we want. But we have a plan of how we want it done, and he might have a plan of how he wants to do it. And it would be good to get in his plan to be the best thing. And we're going to look at the day about prayer, and then we're looking here in Philippians 4. We're going to look at some steps here. The Lord told me to put these things in steps, things to look for. This is going to find out. You're going to find out that meditation is going to be a great help. One of the things in the opening scripture we're going to use is the fourth verse. And it says this. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, you notice that says, it says, in fact, we're going to look through these things, these steps that the Lord gave me concerning this. Now, but this one, he opened up as the most interesting, and he reminded me of this. He said, did you notice I said this twice. He said, I didn't say any of the other ones twice. He said, I said this one twice. And you know what? He sort of feels it's most important. But see, everybody jumps down to the other stuff. He said, do you notice I said that twice? So I'll give you the Ed Gibson translation. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Did you hear me? Rejoice in the Lord always. He didn't say sometimes. You know, when things are real going bad, I sure understand that you can't rejoice. They don't say that. Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, we're going to find out how you can do that, how you maintain it. God wouldn't tell you to do something you couldn't maintain. Amen. But understand this, you're going to have to maintain it. He doesn't. Your success, God has given us everything from the scriptural standpoint to be a success, but it's not, our success isn't dependent on Him giving us everything other than the fact of we doing it. So you can have everything, but if you don't do it and you don't follow it, it wouldn't do any good to have it, would it?
No.
Well, see, it's number one. Everybody wants to have successful prayer life. You want to have, you know, just like what Jesus said, they're going to know you're my disciples by your fruit. And if you look at what the fruit He was talking about, it was a fruitful prayer life. The scriptures before in John 15 were about the fruit, about praying and getting whatever you ask. So in other words, people, you know, you can talk about God and God being good, but if you don't get your prayers answered, people will notice. It's getting prayers answered. So in other words, and this is very important, rejoice in the Lord always. He didn't say rejoice in your problem. You ain't going to like your problem. That isn't what we're rejoicing about. See, but this is rejoicing. We're going to find out this. Here's a sign of faith. Amen. See, something believed is wonderful. Something believed and said is really good. But something believed and said and then not acting like it's true kills whatever you believe and what you said. It kills it. In other words, your action. Our rejoicing in the Lord is an action of something we say we believe on the inside. Hallelujah. It's an action. We're rejoicing. Hallelujah. Because we want to find out in a prayer life, this is about your approach to prayer. How do you, when people have problems, a lot of the time their approach to prayer is more whining than it is rejoicing. Say, man, God, I'm going to rejoice. Why? Because I'm going to prayer. God's getting in the middle of this with me.
Amen.
Well, see, people don't have that. You know? And especially our society today, our society and the way things run, you know? The whiner gets all the attention. The whiner, this is the thing, you know? They actually believe God operates under the American culture. A lot of stuff is taught out of the Bible, almost like American culture, and it ain't. It's not. And we need to understand this. Our culture is like, you know, well, if you got a problem, then God notices you the most. No, He don't. He notices the person of faith the most. See, we need to get this thing out of our heads. It's faith. And what goes to teach us is something that the Lord said to me when Kenneth Hagin, when I first started hearing him teach, when I got born again, you know, listening and dealing with his stuff. I'd read one of his books and things that got born again. Is one of the things that he said about was the fact that is dealing in these areas that, especially, you know, dealing with the areas of faith, he said the Lord told him in teaching in faith, because back in his time, people, he said, their problem was that they didn't believe, but he said they didn't, their confession, they didn't confess. They had this problem. They hadn't been taught about confession. So he said, the people are believing, but they don't know about confession, and you got to teach them confession about getting right. So that's what they needed. Well, the Lord spoke to me then, oh, probably about 10, 15 years after that time, He spoke to me as I was growing, Lord. He said, that's not the problem today. And He said, in the church, He said, the church is taught all about confession. And He said, the Christians have just become talk. They're not doers. He said, you need to start teaching people on doing. He said, they're not acting on the Word of God. They're not acting like it's true. See, rejoicing is acting like God's real. You're rejoicing at something you can't see the guy. You know, if you went around, thank God there's people that have seen Jesus and that stuff. But you know, 99% of Christians didn't see Jesus. You know, I got born again. I didn't see Jesus and I got faith to born again. You know, I didn't see Jesus and got born again. There's probably, you know, maybe 500 people in the world have saw Jesus and got saved. So, I mean, it's just, when you go to it, everybody else, we all got saved just by believing the Word. That's what we did. So you can't count on seeing Jesus to make it work. But we're rejoicing. It's our actions. Rejoicing requires actions out of us. It's something that's required. Now, look what he said. He goes, let your gentleness, this is the New King James, let your gentleness, he says, be known to all men. He said, the Lord's at hand. That word there really means a graciousness or could mean a gentleness, but it's a graciousness or a forbearance. Or it's the idea of refraining from the enforcement of something. You know, such as debt, right? It says obligation or things that are due. In other words, we should be known really from the standpoint of a forgiving spirit, a person who's not holding grudges, a person who does. We should be known as that. In other words, he's going to go in and talk about prayer. Now he's telling what we should be like going into this thing. See, number one, we need to be rejoicing. Now, number two, we should be known as forbearing people or people we're not pushy. We're not trying to, you know, just get our own way. We should be known as that. People should know that, you know, that we're people who are quick to forgive. We should be known as these things. See, in other words, understand, the first two things I'm talking about, they're going to affect your prayer life. See, people have all this, today, prayers don't get answered. The first thing most faith ministers will say, well, you just need to believe God more. 9 times out of 10, and let's go higher than that. It's probably 9.95% of the time, that ain't what the problem is. The problem is certain things that people are not doing that are causing their faith not to work. Why? Because in ways we demoralize our own faith. It ain't the devil. It isn't somebody else. It isn't what somebody else did to me. We demoralize our own faith. We don't do things sometimes that energize our faith. You know, Mike gave that their list this morning. See, those things that will demoralize your faith, those things that he's talking about, they will demoralize your own faith. You can't do those things in the same time. Keep yourself, wow, my God, God's going to help me. No. It ain't happening. Amen. It's not going to happen. And a successful prayer life really is on the basis of our approach to God. See, of us being this type of person, number one, if you're not forgiven, you don't expect people to be really good to you either. So, but see, it's hard for you to imagine God being good if you're not. You got to get clear in your mind. See, people talk about, you know, loving, you know, God and all this stuff. A lot of people don't know God well enough to know how he would love them anyhow. They see God in the eyes of men, they look in the eyes of people, and they let that register. That's why you gotta get over the Word. You gotta see God in a higher position than you are. You gotta see God. The one that you can approach, He's greater than you. Amen. He's far beyond you. His love and compassion is incredible. You know, the love of God shed in our heart. Do you even know anybody that walks in it perfect? So you ain't ever seen it done in you naturally. You ain't ever seen. Sometimes we do good things. I mean, I'm not knocking anybody. We do good things. But we don't have a perfection in it. Hallelujah. There's one thing as I learned. If I do anything good, it was not by me because I knew me 30 years before I did. This is God's working in us. But you got to stay in contact with that God's working in you. And so we find that. So it comes up here to a thing, and really dealing with another point on this is starting in with verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. And we're going to stop there. In other words, being anxious. Anxiety is about worry. It's about fears, anxieties and stuff. Today, man, anxiety runs rampant among people. It's in the church world as much as it's in the world of people are Christians, full of anxiety. Now, I'm just going to tell you why that stuff runs. It's going to be it's meditations. It's what people think on, what they spend their time. See, one of the great problems we deal with is today is your phones, your contact all the time into a realm that you can find trouble that happens 15,000 miles away and you'll know it in 2 seconds. And we stupidly read it and look at all this stuff. Felt bad times. We don't know even if stuff's true or not. We just see it said and we run around repeating it and we're doing our meditations. We don't keep ourselves from things that are bad. We are drawn to them. Because we're Christians. It's like I heard a minister say this. Well, he said, I watch the news so I know what I need to pray about. I thought, boy, you're guided by the news media? These evil, wicked people. You're guided. They're guiding your prayer. In other words, the devil guides his prayer life. That's what he said. That's what it is. The devil, wherever he stirs up, good or bad, or might even all be a lie. But I'm praying about things that might even be a lie, not even exist. Now, don't think he's weird. Most Christians are guided by outward things. They're guided by the outward. They're guided by it, the average Christian. This is why, so like I'm careful. Like, you know, they can't come to me to do a survey about, you know, TV watch news. I never watch news media on TV. No, I don't care who they are. I don't want to see any of them. I don't want to see none of it. There's enough bad news going around. I don't have to get more of it. And you know, it's good. I don't need it from the good conservative who's always criticizing the bad guy who's a liberal. It's any more than I need to hear the liberal criticize. I don't need no more of this. Why? Because my meditations get, it is affecting my prayer life, my communication, and my walk with God. It's affecting it. You're affected whether you realize it or not. You can say what you want, but you're affected. And you got to do things to protect yourself. Amen. You need to take the word shot. You need to get over in your thinking. See, it's just like a drunkard. A drunkard can't go hanging out in a bar or he's going to drink. That's what he's going to do. And as we need to know this, what we can get around and what we can't. What is affecting me and what is not. Amen. You know, people today, you know, they say, well, we can just get around everything. No, you can't. You got to know what you can take and can't take. So it's with it. Don't worry about anything. In other words, anxiety is worry. And he says, in other words, we're not to worry about anything. Uh-huh. Nothing. Not have a worry or anxiety about anything. My God. You know, did you ever think about this? I mean, was Apostle Paul, is he insane or crazy? Don't worry about nothing. Is anybody here you have never worried in your life? We'll have an altar call for liars. We're going to get you saved today. Today's your day. You're going to consist of Meet Jesus Day. Now, everyone, that doesn't mean you're a worrier. Everybody's tempted to worry. The temptation of worry comes to everybody. But you're going to have to operate against that temptation. Amen. There's one thing that you cannot do. Concerning worry. Now, I can't say there may be a problem. You can tell something a problem. You may even not be worried about it at all. Say, hey, this is going on. I'm not worried. That's not it. But what you are worrying about, you don't want to be putting it on your voice. Amen. Because you open your spirit to it. You need to understand this. You'll open your spirit. You keep talking what you're worried about. You keep talking about your anxieties. You say these things. You do that. This is why people can't recover from these problems that meet in these groups all the time. They can't recover because they go and talk about their worries, their fears, their anxieties. They go and talk about those things and they get it into their spirit. And you can't change it. Amen. It gets into them. So you need to be very careful. That don't mean we can't deal with problems and we have things going on, but you can't carry it to worry. Mm-hmm. Now, you can't be rejoicing always and worrying. Amen. You can't. So, but we're going to find out. Hang on, because God has provided the way to deal with this. And it's a way really that the church has gotten away from in some of these things. So he said, we're not supposed to worry about anything. You know, in Psalms 22:22 says, cast your burden on the Lord. He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. So you need to get over it. Hey, this situation ain't going to move me. God's not going to allow this to move me. See, is that the person's confession? Well, I hope this don't happen or I hope that don't happen. See? No. I'm casting my problem on Lord. He's going to sustain me. Hallelujah. He's sustaining me in this thing. Luke 12:22 says, then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you'll put on. Don't worry about this stuff. Don't worry. Don't get into anxiety. People today, what happened to the economy, you know, and everybody's going to starve out. It ain't starving out. Honey, God knows where the president lives and he'll send a raven to take food off his table and bring it to Ed. Amen. He knows how to take care of things. Amen. See, people are, well, what if the economy goes under? My God, we might have to believe God. What a terrible thing would ever happen. What an awful, disgusting thing would take place that my God, an American, would have to trust the Lord. Help us, Jesus! Hallelujah. Now, he tells you don't worry, and then he says this, but in everything by prayer and supplication. But in some stuff, and in a few things, prayer and supplication. What are we supposed to do? Now, understand this. Here we are going to talk about prayer, but he talked about three things before you go to pray. Are you rejoicing? He's asking the question. Do people know that you're the person, you're a forgiving person? So you're going to God, you need help. Well, if you're a person who's a troublemaker, you might have a little trouble getting help. You see, now all these things affect faith. See, this is about approach to God. In other words, your prayer, you shouldn't be coming to God worrying about a problem. See, this is one thing as I learned over the years. Worry prayer produces nothing. God is not moved by people's problems. If he is, well, then he'd be fixing the whole world because it's filled with them. Is it happening? Is America just coming a greater place because we got problems? No. God, see, this is something, you know, Bible says God's moved. People say this, well, God's moved by your problem. Well, he already done something about your problem. He was moved from that standpoint, but he ain't going to fix it unless you do something. He's telling us what we do about it. But you know what? That problem will still just exist. See, we have these nice cliche Christianity that throws this stuff out to try to make people feel better. I ain't going to feel better to get fixed. That's just me. I don't know about the rest of you. Maybe it's okay. It keeps going on. But I want it fixed. I want to know how to get it fixed. What I need to do to get it fixed. I want to know that while I'm trying to fix this thing, that I ain't wringing my hands. I ain't worried about stuff going on. I'm not into this. Oh my God, what happened? Oh God, hurry up. Oh, we ain't going to make it. All this stuff. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be in that place. I lived in a place of the world. I lived under that. You know, I drank to stay happy. There are some Christians, I think they, you know, if they don't get right with God, they better take up drinking because they need something to get happy because they sure ain't getting happy no other way. They don't change. They need to get something happy. They need a sedative is what they need. Hallelujah. Take them out to the funny farm. Give them a shot. Do something with them. Hallelujah. But he says, now, in other words, you're in this situation. He said, don't get over into this stuff. Come over. In other words, come talk to me about it. Come and pray. Come to me about this thing. This is what he says. Now, we want to see this is important because everybody gets on. Well, you know, we want to pray and surely we do. But he said, look at everything. In everything. What is the everything he's talking about? Well, he just got that talking about anxiety. In other words, everything that's making you worry or afraid or anxious, you come to me about that. Do we do that? No, we come to fix, we don't want to deal with our worries and fears and anxieties. No, God, you just fix it. This will keep me from worrying. No, it won't. You'll be worried the next time. Now, he's going to tell you about something. And really, I want to tell you what, this is part of the lifestyle of rejoicing. This is part of that lifestyle. This is the part of the lifestyle of being a forgiving, forbearing person. This is part of that lifestyle. Because he says this in the scripture, if you look at it in scripture. He said, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. He didn't say just prayer and supplication. There's something that goes with it. It goes thanksgiving. You see, thanksgiving is based on this. In other words, when we pray, we're supposed to be thankful at the time. Well, what's he talking about? Well, the fact of thanksgiving in prayer, what is that? It's an act. He said you must act like, in other words, thanksgiving leaves the idea that what you're asking God for is you're going to believe he's going to do it. Amen. See, you couldn't worry and really believe God's taking care of you. You couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And see, this is thanksgiving. There needs to be an outward sign of your belief. Thanksgiving. You know, many times I see as people, you know, they're always really thankful when they see it shows up. I had some years ago, there was a certain thing that happened to me at a Christian come to and said to me, you know, well, you had that thing take place in your life. And he said, you don't act like, you know, it's any big deal. You don't act like, you know, something. I said, hold it. I said, I prayed about that months and months ago. I said, I did all my jumping and shouting back there when I believed I got it. I said, it showed up. It don't surprise me at all. I said, it surprises you because you don't know how to get it. Amen. You see, I do my shouting and jumping when I believe I receive it. I don't do my shouting and jumping when it shows up because it don't surprise me when I believed it was going to show up. You see, we need to get this in. Thanksgiving at the time that you pray. This, he said, this prayer line, this prayer thing, this supplication, got to have thanksgiving with it to get it to work. You know, we have from a scripture saying, what does Matthew 7 say? Ask and you will be, it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open. So you need to pray. Well, hey, if I ask God, he's gonna give it to me. I'm gonna get it. Well, if I'm gonna get it, what do? Do you thank people when they do something for you? Well, today a lot of people don't. We have a lot of ungrateful, unthankful people. Name Christianity. You can do stuff for them and they're, you know, so casual about it and that stuff, like, you know, somebody owes it to them. They're not grateful nor thankful. And see, we need to go over where there's thanksgiving. See, I've learned this over the time of in the areas of ministry, is being thankful toward God, walking, always being thankful what God does. I tell you what, be thankful in little things. You know, everybody wants me to get shout and jump over the big things, and every day, you know, your eyes opened in the morning, you ought to be thankful.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because there's people whose eyes ain't going to open up in the morning.
Amen.
So we, you know, concerning yourself. But in John 14:13. Listen, Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that I'll do, that the Father will be glorified in the Son. See, we get over there. We need to walk in the light of these scriptures. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. Well, if you believe you received it, well, how are you going to act about that? What are you going to do if you really believe? I see this all the time. I've watched in ministry, and you folks, I've talked to you guys about it, and I've ministered at places already, in other churches and things, and I try to get people to do this, and they don't. And they wonder why. See, the Lord spoke to me about why. He said, you've seen a lot of, I'm talking about my personal life, not other people. You know, there's many ministers have great miracles in other people's lives, but not in their own. See, I know how to get it in my own. You know, I don't want gifts of the Spirit operating just out here, seeing what everybody else could get. I want to know I can get a hold of things in my own life. And he said, you've seen a lot of miraculous things. He said, because he said, you do extreme things. See, extreme actions. I always get extreme actions. I get nutty on the action part, you know. See, acting like the word's true. Acting like the word's, act like God said he gave it to me, I got it. And you get over there. It's one thing. If somebody was going to have hands laid on, I'm not Mr. Silent about it. First of all, whether or not I'm going to get anything depends more on me than it does on the person laying hands on. It depends on me. Now, you could have a gift of the Spirit go into operation. Now, if a gift of the Spirit goes into operation, you might be faithless completely and you still get it. But if it's just the anointing of God, say, in healing, a general anointing that a person has to lay hands on the sick, you're going to operate in faith with it, get it to work. Or it ain't happening. It ain't happening. This is why people, you can see somebody that's strong anointed and all kind of things happening, but that don't mean you're going to get anything. You got to operate in faith toward it. Well, I've learned this. Before I ever would ever walk up to somebody, ask somebody lay hands on me, I'd say, when I always say this, I walk up, I say, when I go up there, they lay hands on me, that anointing's going to go into me. I'm going to get that. You see, I go up there, going in, my mouth's set. Now, I'm going up there, I've made a confession, now my actions are to go up there. I'm not going to sit back in the pew and wait to see if anything happens, then I'm going to come up then. After I see something going on, and we'll call that faith. No, that's sight. That's called sight. That's sight. You know, some person that don't know about God much about it and have been taught a lot of these things, they're, for them, I can understand. But there's people call themselves faith people, and they're not. They're moved by sight. See, and I know this stuff gets ugly, people don't want to hear it, but it's just like one of these things. If you don't correct this stuff don't work. And so when that person lays hand on me, I do not have to feel a thing. I don't have to feel nothing. And I just thank God. Hallelujah, that anointing went in me and I got it. Glory to God, it's working in me.
Hallelujah.
And I go back to my seat. You know, the average Christian, they're just standing there just as silent as a day. They come up silent, they leave silent, they don't do a thing. And you know, they walk away and say, well, I don't know. Did you get anything? Well, I don't know. Well, we're just trusting the Lord. No, you ain't. Get out of life. Trusting God ain't a silent thing. It's not a hidden thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I could just see Paul and Silas sitting back there whispering songs in the gym. Don't let them hear us. This is just in me. I'm rejoicing on the inside. But See, this makes people uncomfortable. You know, I've been around Christians. I've had Christians tell me, well, I'm just not that kind of a person. And I said, you ain't ever going to get much either. Amen. Just that kind of person don't get it. See, it don't matter. It isn't a choice. The Bible don't give me a choice. That you can be some other way than the Scripture says, and you can have it all. You know, I really love Jesus, but I ain't going to show it to nobody. You know, I love my wife, but she don't know it. We don't. See, there got to be outward demonstration of what person believes and says. And you know what? I've never had this. I've had people come in, like over the years, marriage counseling. And I've heard a person say, well, I don't love my husband anymore. I don't love my wife anymore. And I just say to him, I say, I want you to do something for me. We're going beyond this counseling with you talking like that. Say, I want you to do something. Go for the next 2 months. And every time you think of it every day, say, I love that person. I love that person. I said, the reason you're doing this is because you're just following your mouth. Your blood mouth has got you over. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, I said, the Bible requires you love them whether they're doing good or not. You got to love them. And you're saying you don't love them. You're in sin. And you're abating your sin by your lousy mouth. You start talking about that person. You love them. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care if they do evil and whatever they're doing. I ain't going to quit. I ain't running around saying, I don't love people. There's people I don't love. You know, I don't, you know. Well, I just don't love them anymore. And I, you know, right away I know about them. They're hard to love people. They are. They're the hard to love people. See, this isn't fun because it isn't good counseling because it's spiritual. It's not, you poor old thing, you're being treated bad. Just join the club. We've all been there being treated bad. We've been on that bus, haven't we? We've rode that one a few miles. But see, there's number one. It's another thing. Your answer prayer is about you. You're going to let others affect that. Are you going to let others? He said, this, get into this Thanksgiving. Get over there in that place of Thanksgiving with God. Get over there and walk in that place. When you believe what the Word says, this is one of my favorite scriptures in John 5 and verse 14, start 14 and 15. It says, now this is the confidence we have in Him. We ask anything according to His will. He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petition that we requested of Him. We know we got it. See, if I know I got it, it's mine. You know, you wonder how many times now, see, people like outward action and stuff they want to see at the church. You know how many times I have done in my own house where I've got it up and I pray, nobody's around and I'm going, woo-hoo, glory to God. And you know what? Ain't nothing good happened yet. Not a thing. But I'm like, woo-hoo, glory to God. God's working. Hallelujah. See, you got to become this. This is my actions of my faith. This is my faith talking. You know, they say actions are louder than words. There's a big truth in that. Many people today, the church world is full of talk but little action. You know, their action is giving somebody a hamburger or a hot dog. This is my great love. Man, people need more than that. You know, we'll fill their bellies and send them to hell. And it's getting old. They need to see a people. You know, hallelujah. We need to preach these truth. You know, the word's gotten watered down because, you know, people say, well, you know, some people are just having a hard time. Do you quit preaching the truth because some people don't get it? They are in the church world today. In the Rhema churches are doing that. Oh, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You know, some people are having a hard time. Well, I was having a hard time when I got saved. I thank God that Brother Hagin didn't preach a different gospel, so it comforted Ed and his stupid. He didn't. He preached the truth. Sometimes I wanted to get offended at things that he said. But then they were in the Bible and I had to repent. You know, he's right. You know. When he made the first time I heard he made the statement, I was just born again. He said, if you don't like the way your life turned out, he said, don't blame anybody else. You did it. I thought, oh my God. He said, don't he know? Yes, he did know. He knew about his life. And just with ours. It's over there. I have the choice of whether I want to change my life. It's my choice or not. So I found out he was telling the truth, and I found this out. Now, if my life wanted to change, I was going to have to do something about that. I wasn't going to call the Republican Party or the Democratic and find any help. There was going to be no help from none of them. They couldn't pass a law that would fix Ed's life. It required Ed to make changes and do things. And I found out doing things in the Word sometimes don't make a bit of sense. They seem stupid. You're out here acting like something you can't see is true.
Amen.
something you can't, going around thanking God. And thanking God you believe that you're healed. Thank you for healing. I'm so glad you healed me. My body is still saying, you're stupid. I still feel bad. Your flesh is still talking. But you're saying, praise God, I believe He's healed me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, I know God will heal me sometime. No, that's not the faith. No, I believe I got it. Hallelujah. I believe I have it. Hallelujah. You feel it? It ain't about my feeling. If I can feel it, I don't have to have faith. Faith is what you do when you can't feel it, you can't see it, it don't look like it's happening nowhere, there's nothing good going on, and you're an idiot walking around saying, praise God, I believe I got it, it belongs to me, God's working on my behalf, I cast my care on Him, He's taking care of it, I use my faith, and if anybody's going to worry, it's going to have to be Him, because I'm not.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's faith, and you need that. When nothing else looks like it's working, that's where you have to stay. And I'm going to, we'll go down to it, how you stay there. Because when you've done this, now you got to stay there. Because sometimes, did you ever notice, some things don't change overnight?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, my God. Some things don't change overnight. My God. Americans have a hard time with that. We have a terrible time. We're an impatient people. We want change immediately. Hallelujah. And usually what we do requires more, brings more problems, and the changes usually aren't what we wanted. So, but anyhow, we want to walk in the light of it. Now, we're told, now listen to this. That's that verse 6. Verse 6 said, so it says, make your requests be known to God. So you request something, the thing that you request, you must believe you receive it. The thing you requested, you must believe you receive it at the time you ask for it. That's a requirement of Scripture. When you do that, it should change you. You should have a whole different approach now. Now I know I have it. It belongs to me. God's given it to me. See, these people say, well, you know, we believe, and you know, that's why it's like asking God again. Well, how could you believe you received it and asked it again? If you're asking again, you didn't believe you got it.
Amen.
Now I'm talking about personal prayer life. Your personal, what you're asking for by faith. There's things of other people. We go back and pray at times again about concerning other people and things. But our own personal prayer life. You make your request. You're supposed to believe at the time you make that request. Why? For the whole purpose of it is the fact you believe you receive it when you make the request. Then he goes on to this. And now look, after you have done number one, number two, number three, and number four, then he says this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He never told us that, you can't not do the first ones and have this one. You need to understand it doesn't work that way. See, this is why, I thank God that I had the opportunity to sit under Kenneth Hagin's ministry and learn some things that he learned. It's like he told us, and I heard him say this a number of times in Bible school, but also in meetings and things. He talked about he was not quick to pray about something. He's not just quick to pray about things. See, he would take preparation time. Why? Making sure going into the prayer, things were right. See, he's checking the other steps. He just don't jump. See, everybody jump. People, oh, something happened. Oh, so and such happened. Pray for this. Pray for that. You know, I've had this many a times and stuff. Person's in a problem, praying about the areas of healing, pray for healing. I know this when I go to it. Praying for healing is going to be a waste of time because they're not in a position to receive it. They're not. So what do I got to do? I'm going to have to approach this thing to maintain and hold things to give them an opportunity to get their things straightened around. See, people do this. They think, well, if we just all start praying, we just do this, it's just going to make it all happen and everything. We're just going to wave the wand. It's not like that. Sometimes people aren't ready. See, I learned that by listening to other people, had years of experience with people of dealing with them. And then I've learned in my own Christian walk about people not being ready to receive. I want healing. I don't mean you're going to get it because you want it. Man. Thank God God don't operate. If we got everything just because we wanted it, dear Lord, we'd live in so much sin, we wouldn't have 2 seconds for God. But he said, the peace of God, this peace that passes all understanding, guards your hearts and mind. See, this is what you want. When you get to the place, Mike was reading this morning, this is what this is talking about, rest. Faith enters a place of rest. It enters a place of peace. If you have prayed and you're still in anxiety and you're still worried, you haven't gone to the place of peace. Now, I'm not saying it won't try to come to you, but many times people receive it and they start talking it and they have prayed. And they think, you know, this is one of the times that a lot of people have enough sense to know this, that they can't get what they want. This is why they'll call a preacher, or they call somebody that they think they knows how to use faith. They'll try to get them to get it for them. You know, I found this out. Somebody's a baby Christian or even a sinner. Sometimes I can get something done for them once or twice, or that, but that'll end at that. You can't keep doing that. You know, you can't have a prayer chain prayer life. It won't work. It won't work. It ain't going to happen. You can't have that. You get the prayer chain to help you some, but God will expect you to come to a point where you take a hold of some things yourself. He will always do that. There's nothing matter to getting other people to pray. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's much better if you're heading a direction and there's action and agreement in this thing, if you get other people to pray. And so that those are things that you want to do. But he said, this peace, why? Peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind. See, that's when you need to come to that place of rest. You need to come to that place where you're at rest. You know that you have it. Because see what happens? Doubts and things will come. They'll come from people. People will bring and try to bring doubt from you. You know, you're going through a problem and somebody knows about it. You always get people. They just can't ever shut up. You always get the nosy people, which are many times too much of the majority. They always going to want to come. They want to know, well, what's been going on? They want to know what's, tell me what the bad news is. That's what they want. Yeah. Well, how are things going? Hallelujah. They're going good. I believe I received it. Hallelujah. What do you believe in the thing? It'll shut them up quick because you find out they don't believe a darn thing. You know, I've been around those people, you know, and they turn around. They want, you know, you ask them and turn around. Well, I'm just believing God, I'm healed. I said, what scriptures are you standing on? They'll stand there and stutter for 15 minutes so they can think of a scripture. I said, you ain't standing on that scripture. That one just fell on you now. You weren't standing on nothing. If you don't know what the Bible says about what you said you're believing, you're playing games. It's games. Hallelujah. See, you want to know. Well, now he tells us. Now listen to this. Verse 8. Now here's what verse 8 is about. This is what we want to look at in this verse 8 thing. Because this, we want to know this. Number 7, the peace of God. Now God's peace here, he said, this is one of the steps of the things that, it's really not from a step, but this will happen because you followed those first four steps. This is the thing. In other words, God's intervention. God, in other words, saying, I'm in this thing now. I'm in this. You and I are working together. We're hooked up in this. So, well, that's good news, isn't it? That's good news. Hallelujah. You did your part. Now I'm going to work. See, confess that. Hey, God's working in me. Hey, God's in this thing. His peace has gotten me now. His peace that passes all understanding. He's dealing with the natural understanding, the things that are natural. What's going in my, whatever's happening around me naturally, that's not governing me now. What's governing me is the peace of God. Hallelujah. I know God's in this thing. I believe I receive it. He's reinforcing that in me. You want to stay. That's the place you want to go. Now, one thing you're going to have to do, you're going to have to stay at that spot. Because see, I've seen people, and especially, like coming here, we can sit here and we have faith together. We can set an atmosphere of faith. And people can come along who really aren't much on the areas of faith and don't follow it. And you know what? An atmosphere of faith, it's really easy to receive things. You can sit here, but I found this out. Then people leave the service, and what the problem they had comes right back on them. See, I went to big meetings. You know, you go to some of these big meetings, and you get thousands of people, men, and they're moving in faith in a direction. How the miracles take place ain't no big deal. It ain't about all that guy up in front. Oh, most people do, oh, he has this and he has that. Hey, thank God for the gifts they got, but the atmosphere set into place is what's making that thing work. Brother Hagin always understood that. He said, you ain't going any further as a minister than the audience will allow you to go. Well, there they'll pull their faith to go. No matter how you think you're doing. So how far would the audience let you go? How far? This is what you want. See, generating faith. If people generate faith, it makes it easy to receive things. It makes it easy to get a hold of stuff. See, from the preaching, my anointing to teach and preach and minister the word works much more powerful when people are pulling. I've been places already and people don't pull. And I'm going to tell you what, it's like plowing, you know, some rocky soil, man. It's like, you know, you're just trying to get, you're trying to preach to them, you're trying to teach, and you're just, man, it's dragging along. I've been at places called themselves faith places that were like that. Man, they're just dragging along. They weren't being taught how to respond to faith themselves. They had a preacher who, he was their performer. And he learned how to preach when there ain't no anointing. He gives a good talk that they like to hear. And they get emotionally excited. And they, people think their emotions is anointing. Emotion ain't anointing. When people's emotions are going, oh, that was really a good service. They wouldn't know a good service. I've had people in that stuff. You can walk around a service. I found this as people, like you have a worship service. I have people, I just couldn't worship today. I just don't think the atmosphere was right. A guy sitting over beside him saying, man, that was great today. I was really worshiping God. Say, the reason you had a problem, you came with your worries, fears, and anxieties. Your feelings don't matter at all about it. There's lots of times I wouldn't even come to church the way I feel. And I ain't kidding. I ain't saying it'd be funny. But sometimes, you want to stay home. Say, let's get home, pull the covers over your head, and just stay today. You know, I don't want to do anything today by emotions and my feelings, but I can't go by emotions. You know, there's one thing. It's like Brother Hagin said, to have the anointing, he said, it's addicting. He said, like taking drugs, you always want it again. It's like with me, I know when I get up there today, the anointing's coming on. Oh, see, I'm going in, if it wouldn't be, I'm going to get my shot today. I'm going to get a shot. That's what I'm going to do. So I go, why? For the anointing. Hallelujah. Because the anointing, I just like it so much better than my problem. Hallelujah. See, this is why you want to follow God. See, I didn't have to give up, you know, getting something extra. You know what I did with my drinking and drugging? I can get it, and I don't have no hangovers anymore. And I know it don't make me, maybe Chris done me good. See, but you can have it with the anointing. And it ain't just for preachers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we want this peace. Then he tells us something here from a scriptural standpoint. He makes this, and according to the scripture says, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on this. King James, I think King James says, think on this. Think or meditate. In other words, bringing this into line, what he just said. You're going through this thing and you're here. It's about your meditation. If you're going to stay straight, you're going to have a meditation of what you're thinking on. Now, when it says finally, we use that word finally there. I don't like the word finally because that word there in the definition means, in other words, it actually comes from something remaining. Hold it. See, there's something else that remains here. There's something else you got to have here. And, or it could say, besides this. Now hold, we just said this, but besides that, this is what you have to be doing. If you're not a meditator on what's good, what's right, what's true, if you're not, you're going to have a weakened prayer life. You're going to have a prayer life that is not a success. This is not, it's what you said. It's just like coming into this thing. He said, rejoice always. You ain't going to be rejoicing always if you ain't doing this. You're not going to do that. Do you see this? This wasn't something just thrown in there. See, people usually teach this stuff separate. They take the top and the bottom. And this is what the Lord's dealt with me over the years. Contextual teaching. He said, they don't do it today. They don't teach things contextually. They pull us. It's good sometimes God will use the scripture here. But when teaching comes along, people need to see it because people don't understand. People are using the scriptures up above trying to get their prayer answered and nobody taught about, hey, if you ain't been doing this, you ain't getting it answered. You're going to be over here. Worry's going to dominate you. Fear's going to be in your life. I don't tell them, hey, are you rejoicing always? No, let's just go to the prayer part about where I get my answer. That's the part just tell me that part. That's the one I want to know. Say, hey, I like that. I like that. You need to come to the fact that you know when you do ask God, you believe you receive it. Hallelujah. He gives it to you. It says it's yours at the time. You have to know that He gave it to you because if you don't, you cannot have faith. You cannot have faith if you didn't know He gave it. If you're waiting to see something to see if He gave it, there is no faith in that. That is what every heathen can do. Anybody can do that. That takes no faith whatsoever. The faith part is believing you have something when it don't seem like you got a thing. Amen. Faith is believing when you got the shout, when it looks like you should be bawling and squalling. You know? Do you ever have to shout over the tears? Do you ever have to do that?
Yeah.
Well, you ain't never lived if you didn't. Man, there's times you want to cry. You just want to cry. You just want, oh, your flesh is want to cry. Yeah, this thing is awful. It's terrible. Hallelujah. But I got to praise God. I got to get past this thing. Can't let, nothing matter with having emotions. You got emotions. God gave them to you. But I'm going to tell you what, you got to bring them under the control of the Word of God. Hallelujah. I like to see more people have tears of joy than have tears of the whining problems and complaining about Hallelujah. Things. Hallelujah. We want to go there. How did that place? But see, what do we do? We, in other words, we got to set ourselves to think on what's the truth. In other words, we go to the truth. What's the Word? What's the Word say? Let's go to the truth. What's the truth say about me? What's the truth say about my situation? What's the truth say? You got to go there. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, or we could say righteous, the word that can be translated righteous also. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. You see, you can see, you know, the children of Israel, they were at the promised land, they sent in those 12 spies. 10 came out. What? Everybody, the whole congregation but two guys followed the bad report. The bad report guys. See, what they meditated on, they got, didn't they? You know why those guys brought back a bad report? It's because those people gave bad reports the whole time they were in there. They never thought on what was good. God gave them and said, I give you this land. They come out and say, nah, we can't have it. He didn't give it to us yet. We can only have it if we see we got it. Caleb stands up. My God, these guys are bread to us. Let's go over and get it. No. Hallelujah. In other words, God gave us the land. God told them He gave them the land. He didn't say He was going to. He said He gave it to them. Now, what should they were confessing? But see, this oddball that they wanted to stone, and his name was Caleb, because he said God gave it to him. See, they didn't focus on what was true. See, this is where a lot of Christians, they miss it. They're not, their meditation. This stuff don't just happen to you. You got, I'll tell you what, sometimes it takes work to focus on what's good and what's right. But see, we like the easy, you know. The easy, you know. It's a lot of hard, you know. I can't think on what's good, so I'll go to the doctor and get a medication that makes me feel better. Because I'm not going to take the work it takes to maintain my mind. So I'm going to take a drug that controls my mind. And over time, that drug won't work. Over time, that drug, and I'll need more drugging and more drugging, and I'll need more drugging because the devil will make sure that happens. See, you got to take your sanity back. Man, there's times I thought mine left. Have you ever been there? Hell, you ain't ever run through no problems if you didn't ever went through the thing. Sometimes it's like, man, it's gone. Why? I got to intentionally set myself to think on what's good. Sometimes that's hard, you know. Like we talked about before, you go to bed at night, you lay down. Seems like the devil and all his cousins coming. They just line up beside your bed. You're doing good till you crawled in bed, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, this happens. Or you wake up in the middle of the night and that problem, like, how did that happen so quick? And oh, that was right in the middle of my mind again. How did that go? So you have a choice what you do. Well, you got to get yourself and say, no, I'm going to meditate on what's good. I'm going to meditate on what's right. I'm going to set myself to do that. I'm going to set my meditation over here in this area. So these are the things of success. Now I want to say, if you learn to practice these things, they become normal. It isn't something like, oh, I got to do this, got to do it. No, it's normal life. The things you do in right life right now, you do them because you have practiced them a million times. And if it was the wrong thing to do, you practice it so much you naturally go to it. There's people, like my mama was a worrier. Worrying was the easiest thing for her to do because she'd go right to it. She was so trained in it. She'd go right to worry. Wow, she trained herself in it. Everybody's trained in, so you're trained in to do it. You're trained. And this thing's here. These things here become natural part of life. See, if you follow the Word, if you follow in just the Word of God, see, all this stuff fits together. We've categorized all this stuff, but we never made it fit. And what do we have to do? We've never made, how do you fit your prayer life? It's the faith people got to think, well, you just believe, make a confession. Well, how many Christians are going down the tubes doing that? Loads of them. You know, like I've said before a number of times, I was at a minister's meeting and a minister got up and said he was going to do some teaching, and he taught, and they were doing the teaching on the areas of healing and what they were, and he was going to be doing some teaching that, and he got up and he said, you pastors, and this was a minister's meeting, he said, you need to know, he said, your people out there, you keep just telling them they just need to have more faith and more faith. He said, that ain't their problem, it's their dirty lives. See, a dirty life Faith don't override a dirty life. We found out coming into this thing. Having the right kind of life has to do with your prayer life. See, I learned faith from Kenneth Hagin. That's where I found it in it. And then listen to others like Caps and those guys. I just thank God I had to do, I got to grow up under those people. I was fortunate enough to meet some of them, and I just, they were the real thing. They weren't something on a pulpit. And there's many guys today, they're in the pulpit. You don't want to see them out of, I've met big name guys out of the pulpit who are in big names, and they ain't at all outside the pulpit what they are. They're not the same kind of person. They do not live the life they preach. Now, what they tell you is true. Don't follow their life, man. It ain't in their life. And so you want to do that, you want to follow. See, and I just learned that these things from these people. It's just good about, and they talk about, see, Brother Hagin talk about your life, how you live. What you're doing. The effect it has on your faith. See, they don't do it. Just believe more. You can't live a dirty life and just believe more. Because what you're believing, you won't believe no way things are going to happen. Your life is working contrary all the time. And you're making statements off the top of your head. And you're making confessions and you're saying things. And that's all it becomes. It comes out. And you know, we don't want to get over there. I know Christians today that they're messed up as a day is long. But they have wonderful confessions. But it's all in their head. It ain't where their heart's at.
Amen.
See, this is what we want to get in the outside, because let's look at the last thing that is said here, because see, there's another thing. We teach to there and stop. That part, put the brakes on. We go down to the rest of it on here and reading it. And we want to look down here on what verse 9 says. Here, because see, Paul didn't quit after he said this. Meditate on these things. Let's see what he said. He said, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Let me tell you, you can pray for peace night and day. You can do all that. You ain't going to have no more peace than you're doing. You see, this whole thing amounts, and I've been disobedient. I started now to do some of the writing in it. But the Lord told me a long time back to write a book on the three parts of faith. See, the faith people teach two parts of faith. They teach, believe in your heart and say it through your mouth. It's three parts of faith. It is believing, saying, and doing. That's faith. Other than that, see, I'm preach because and what James said. Remember what James said. See, James, the faith preachers don't go much to this because, well, you know, James isn't as exciting. James said in James, the first chapter, verse 23, says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Now, he's talking about the mirror. It's the mirror of the Word. And I understand this. See, you can sit in a meeting, and I watch people do this. They sit into a meeting, and the good things are taught, the right things are taught. And that Word becomes a mirror. They can see about themselves. They see, where I'm missing it. But these are some people say, take it, and they say, hey, man. But the guy who's not a doer, what he does is he looks at it, he sees it, but he walks out the door and just goes and does what he was doing before.
Mm-hmm.
See, he sees it. The Word becomes a mirror. See, the Word, you know, Mike's sharing this morning about it here. You know, you look in the mirror. How many of you look in the mirror and you don't see any flaws? Now, you know what you ladies do. You see the flaws and you want to cover them up, don't you? Sure you want to cover them up. I mean, you know, it's like me. You got to look at us guys, scare people, you know. I look in the mirror and it moves, you know. I said, get back over here! Why? Well, see, that's what the Word, if you leave God's Word, it'll get your flaws fixed. But you know what? You got to look at the flaws. But Mike was sharing this one. If you don't look at your flaws, you're going nowhere. Just forget it. And this is why the church is going nowhere, because we have the no-flaw preaching. It's no flaw. Jesus loves everybody, and it's all going to be, and it's all your life's going to work out good. Come on, we'll just pray. Oh, wow! And it just goes on and on and on and on. No? Just look in the mirror and say, I got a flaw. That flaw needs fixed.
Amen.
And the Word will fix it. Where I don't look in the mirror and puke.
Amen.
Well, I'll look and say, my God, is somebody standing behind me? Where did that face come from? There are Christians who will not look in the Word because they can't stand to see who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotten into this American society. You don't look at the problems and that stuff. You don't just look at, no, you got to. You become the fixer. See, I learned, if you want to fix, somebody else can't fix my flaws. Somebody else can't do that. I can't blame others for the flaws in my life. Boy, is that un-American. Because that's what everybody does. See, the Republicans say the Democrats have messed it all up. Democrats say the Republicans messed it up. And you know, not really, they've been all into messing it up. But we can't, as individuals, we got to look in the mirror. And when we look in that mirror, we got to stop and say, hey, I need change. I need changed. He's looking in that mirror. We got to be doers. So Paul told him here in that. So one of the things that we must do, and really there were seven things listed there. And the last thing, we do that meditation. But don't go from meditation to doing. You meditate on things. You know, you're going to meditate on the good stuff and act the good stuff. Act the good stuff. Act, you know, on what's just or what's righteous. Well, then I should pick up a righteous lifestyle and a righteous way to walk. See, as one thing is, you know, there are people, it's like when the Lord told, preaching to the people in his day, he said, he told them about the Pharisees. He said, you know, what they tell you is right, it's correct, but don't do what they do. You see, it isn't enough. See, this is one of the things we need. We don't have a lot of role models today in the church. We have a lot of people who are preaching right things, but they ain't role models. I said, to things going on in the church world and out here in ministries and stuff that's happening going on. It's terrible. By people. Now, this is one thing about, many of them teach a lot of good things and preach a lot of good things. But man, you don't want to walk with them. Don't be walking with them. No, you need to, somebody is finding a walk, getting a walk that's right. In other words, and two, people need to be able to look at somebody. You know, I can't push it off just to them. Well, then, they need to have somebody, they look at somebody that walks right. As Paul said, hey, you can look at me. He said, remember Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ? He didn't say, just follow me. Most leaders today, you just follow me. You just do what I want. That's right. Just keep your checkbook closed. Keep your credit card near me. Do that. See, it's all about these things. I mean, there's lots of crazy and stuff going on out here. But Paul told them they had to be doers of the word. You got to do this. In other words, he said, what you see, you guys have seen me, you follow it, you do this. These are the things you do. Can you mimic? See, it's one thing that, you know, nobody had told me this before when I first got born again. I just saw it from a scriptural standpoint with Kenneth Hagin teaching. And in dealing in the areas of his teaching, he talked, you know, about living right. And you know, when I would read and he had talked about how you act in situations and what you do, I just thought, well, you're going to have to follow that pattern. I just took it, well, then this is what you do. Well, see, number one, I'm interested. You need to understand, your faith will not produce anything if your actions ain't right. Mm-hmm. Actions either enforce your faith or destroy your faith. They'll do one of the two. Your actions are either going to promote your faith. And so this is why we want actions, because our actions promote our faith. In other words, when you're standing, and the days that you need patience, what it says, when patience has its perfect work, patience is a walk. It's a way you walk. Amen. Patience is what you do when things ain't working. You walk along patiently. You're not irritated, irritable, and that stuff, because things ain't working fast to you and you didn't get what you wanted right away and that stuff. And you're walking along in that patience in life of those things. You know, my dad was one of those guys. I mean, if something wasn't going right or something like that, my dad would just... He was sort of like a straight arrow in that thing. He'd just walk along and he'd never make a big deal of any of it, you know. People did things and done stuff. People took him across in his life and that stuff. You never hear him ever mention it. He just walked along in life. Just walked along in life. You know, I'm glad he did. Because when I got saved, people heard me tell this. When I got saved, I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, how come I'm alive today? I said, I did, you know, all the crazy things I did and overdosing, and I was in NOM and all the things. You see the things that I did with the car? Oh my God, I was in. You know, I would do some of the craziest driving you've ever seen in your life. Scare people to death doing things. Jump stuff and everything. I did the craziest stuff. You know, hey, if you're going to sin, you might as well get after it. I didn't live a boring, sinful life. But Anyhow, go along with it. You get out there, you know, and you're just pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. But going along there, and I stopped because I said, God, how come I'm alive? I said, the stuff that I did. I said, I got friends, people I know, they're dead. They're gone. I said, they're gone. And I said, some of them, they never did half of what I did. And here I am. How come? And the Lord spoke to me and said this, just as clear. I just a baby Christian. He said, you're alive today because your dad, he walked righteous before me. See, your righteous walk before God ain't because you know all the right scriptures. But my dad, he lived and God honored it and saved his son. Kept his son alive to get into God's will in his life. Because of his life. My dad walked righteous. And then the Lord spoke to me at that same time. He said, I didn't spare Noah's family because they were righteous. He said, look at the scriptures. He said, I never said that his family was righteous. I said, Noah was. Well, that settled with me. I thought, my God. The head walks right. And it spares the rest of them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, we got authority. We might go into some teaching and some of these things they don't talk about with authority. But people don't understand. There's authority out here that's in the church.
Amen.
And the church ain't walking in it. Hallelujah. Because, you know, we've touched into certain things, but there's certain places we don't go. And we don't do. Why? Because, you know, this exceedingly abundantly above what you can imagine or think. There's a lot of things that have been outside our imagination. But God don't want it to stay there. Hallelujah. And so we want to come and walk there. See, we're going to commune with God today. See, God's great desire is that your prayers are answered. That's His great desires. And He set up a system of guarantee to you. He set up a system. See, and that system's founded in fellowship. We're taking community. It's founded in fellowship with God. That's what it is. Being in fellowship with God. Hallelujah. I've learned this over the years. God doesn't do what He does. He said, you know, the Bible talks about chastening. Well, he doesn't. He said he chastens the ones he loves. And I've always been this. Boy, God sure loves me. No, but I've learned this over time. Chastening lots of times is just about learning. It's not about a beating. It's about telling you what you don't know and you need to know. And what you don't know, you need to understand. You know, you don't come up one day and get a diploma from God. You don't walk through and shaking hands and, you know, now I got it. I arrived. Now I'm going to be a great Christian. Hey, a lot of people thought they got there, and they're the ones that end up falling. That ain't where it's at. This is all the time. This thing of prayer, this is a workout all the time. I watch people already who had prayer lives that were powerful, and today their prayer lives are nothing. Why? Because they've gotten over and gotten away from the things that made their prayer lives great. The things that made them what they were, they no longer walk in. Their meditations have changed. See, and we're saying these things because these are foundations of things that were taught when I first came into the kingdom, which are not talked about today. Just have faith. Just believe God. Make a good confession. It's all going to change. And people come back and just do it again and again. And 10 years later, they're doing the same thing and it still ain't changed. And they're still going through the same thing. And they think, well, we're following the Word. You don't even know what it's talking about. Your preacher don't even know what it's talking about. He's sitting up a time. He can't get it to work for him. He's trying to tell you. It don't work for him. And see, we need this. We need people. We need to, you know, if it's not working, hallelujah, I want to know. I desperately want to know. And see, our fellowship is based on, and our communion. This is fellowship with God. This is our basis. This is the foundation. Hallelujah. When you sit down, there's Jesus, you know, and I want you to see this today as we go into this. We're going to go in communion. You're going to have, go ahead and tell them to come out, the kids. Is in communion. It's just to say this, is in communion deals with two areas. It deals with our natural side and with our spiritual side. You know, the Bible tells, you know, we use the things, you know, when people say, well, by His stripes we were healed. We need to understand this. See, in His body, see, Christ in His body, from His body, you were healed by His beatings that He took. That was the natural side. In other words, through his body, God had to become in a physical body. God came in a physical body. He had to redeem us. And in the earth, in his physical body, he took the beating of your life, the troubles, the problems in his body. Now his blood, that's where you got redemption. You didn't get it through his body. See, people think that dying on the cross did it. No. If he wouldn't have went to hell, you wouldn't have got it. See, what he did, his sin could not be laid on his physical body. His physical body couldn't have done anything. But the beating that he took was about your health and your well-being. He took the beating of a life. That's why Jesus died so quickly on the cross. Because every disease and every ugly thing, because when he took your sin, the curse came on his body. Go over and read Deuteronomy 28. That ain't about a person's spirit. The curse is about what happens to you physically. The curse is about what takes place physically, not spiritually. It was because of men's spiritual condition. So if God wanted to do it, now first of all, he took it on his body. All that came on. That's why he died. He died of every sickness, disease, and every ugly thing you get out of. That's why on the cross they were startled he died quick. Man, if you had on him, you'd have died quick too. See, the Romans were used to this. People would take days to die on a cross. Sometimes people take a week to die on a cross. They found out how to impale people where they impale them. But see, keep them alive for a week in pain, hanging up. Let me tell you, they're wonderful people. Figure out how to do this stuff. But Jesus died so quickly because on his body, and what he took on his body. But see, then that wasn't the end of it. Thank God what he did in our body. But it was through his blood, the shedding of his blood. Hallelujah. It's through the shedding. That's why his blood had to be taken into the holies of holies of heaven. His body, his physical body in its condition wasn't taken into heaven, was it? No, he had to get a glorified body to go into heaven with his blood. Hallelujah. And that's the place he made a redemption for you and I, that you and I could be changed forever spiritually. And see, this is what we're partakers of, the whole man. Spirit, soul, and body. The fix of the whole man. The wholeness of the whole man. That's what communion's. The communion's about a God fixing the whole thing. Hallelujah. And because of this fix, one day you and I get the new body just like his. That's the guarantee of everything. That's the full redemption. You're not fully redeemed yet. Why? What part isn't redeemed? Well, your spirit's been redeemed. Fully. See, it's still the body part. See, it's coming to the end of the church age, comes to the part of the fulfillment of the body in the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And see, God has given us victory in the body. That's why he put the Holy Spirit in you. And one thing is to quicken your mortal body. It's to work concerning this body, this thing he did concerning the curse. Hallelujah. Because you have the new birth now. You can have the Holy Spirit living in you to fully affect the body.
Hallelujah.
And so when you and I take this bread to eat it, hallelujah, it should be life to us. We should think of our body, hallelujah, the curse. See, we're living in the curse. Did you notice this? We're living in the curse. The curse ain't in the spirit realm. You and I aren't cursed in the spirit. We're free. The curse doesn't come and try to get on your spirit. It comes and gets on your body to try to get you to forget about what you are spiritually. Isn't it interesting we take communion? He didn't say, do the spiritual part first. Why? Your biggest problem is the physical side. That's what we live on, the natural side of what we see, what we feel. And he said, hey, live over here. I took care of this. Don't you worry about this body. Don't you worry about what it's going to get. Don't you worry about what it's going to have. I've taken care of this thing. Hallelujah. When you eat that bread, you just reminded, hallelujah, it was your body and mine. The curse is paid fully about your body. The curse is paid in full. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And anything comes on curse on you and say, man, that ain't mine.
That's right.
Uh-uh. The curse ain't mine. Glory to God. See, the church has tried to chase people off from communion. Well, you need to get right. I tell you, take communion and get right. Hallelujah. That's what we do. We take communion and get right. Get your thinking. Get over thinking. Communion. You know, when I grew up as a kid, communion was this sorrowful thing that they did. There wasn't no victory on it. After you took communion, you crawled back to your seat. You old unworthy scoundrel. Look what Jesus did for you, you rotten thing. Hallelujah. No, I should run back to see. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I got the victory today. God's given. Has He put that on your mind? See, what are our thoughts? What are we going to meditate on with communion? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, we make Jesus big. Amen. We make His victory huge. Hallelujah. Because His victory is our victory.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Father, this morning I just pray in the name of Jesus. Father, awaken us and quicken us. Lord God, Lord, this message fits everybody. It fits us all. Hallelujah. But Lord God, the greatest thing about it gives us victory. The victory that's ours. Hallelujah. The victory that belongs to us. Father God, You have a prayer life for us that is so powerful, so that's so glorious. And Lord God, it's not because of our great work, it's because of Jesus Christ and His great work, His faithfulness to step out of the glory of heaven and step down here. Hallelujah. And take all the ugly that was in our lives, what destroyed us. Hallelujah. He came, Lord God, and raised us up together with Him. Hallelujah. Father, it is almost an incredible, mind-blowing thing that it could just be by believing. How on earth, Lord God, it is so simple. I can understand why people stumble over it. We want to think we're so bright, but Lord God, You made a plan that the most insignificant person, the one who is the least, can understand it and receive it. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, You thought of us when You did it. Hallelujah. That we could understand it. That we could do it. Hallelujah. Lord God, it isn't a thing that makes sense to the mind, but our hearts are hooked up to it. And we love it. We love it, Lord God. So we thank You today as we take these elements. Lord God, hallelujah, it's about life. Amen. It's about Your life working in us, giving us the victory. Hallelujah. That You've won for us in Christ Jesus. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.